Would you turn with me, please, to the passage we read in God's Word? Deuteronomy chapter 33. It's the Lord that enables us, we might consider together verse 29. Deuteronomy 33, verse 29. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people, save for the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency. Thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people, saved for the Lord. I'm sure we've all been wished a happy new year. Today we've greeted others in the same way. What do these words mean? I suppose some people just say that because that's what you say at this time of year. And really it's just one of these greetings which mean very little in reality. With others perhaps what they mean is, well, I hope you have a good time at this time of year. Your life is full of joy and gladness. Perhaps for others it means, well, may you have all good, all true blessing. And may you find blessing in everything. The dark things as well as the joyful things in life. Well, the Bible reminds us where true happiness, where true blessedness is to be found. Happy art thou, O Israel. Here Moses tells us, these people are the happy people, the blessed people. Who are they? The people of God. Friend, would you know a happy and prosperous new year? Make sure you are part of God's people. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee? There's no one like thee. A blessed, happy people. And to be part of the church, to be a child of God, is to be blessed indeed. We have read some of Moses' dying words. The last words he was to speak before he was taken from this world to glory. He is pronouncing in a prophetic way God's blessing upon Israel. He is encouraging them. They face an uncertain future as they are about to go into Canaan under new leadership, under Joshua. But don't worry. Be strong and of a good courage. Remember who your God is. And he's pronouncing this parting blessing. And he is saying to them, there is none like unto the God of Yeshua. Remember who your God is. Because Israel's God is great. There is none like him. And because there is none like him, there is none like God's people. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee. We saw this morning that God is great. And that if God is our God through faith in Jesus Christ, we are blessed. And we can confront whatever happens in this new year with confidence, because our God is the unique, incomparable God who is righteous, who is almighty, who is sovereign, who is eternal. What an encouragement to trust in him. To make sure that we're in covenant with him. That he is in relationship with them through Jesus Christ. It wasn't that God was saying to Israel, because God is your God, you're going to have an easy life. They weren't. They're going to have to invade the land of Canaan and execute God's judgment upon the ungodly, wicked Canaanites who burnt their children in the fire and practiced other horrible abominable practices. But they're being told, look, you go on and do this, and I will be your refuge. I will be your help. And so it is for God's people. They're not promised an easy life, but God says, you trust in me, and I'll be with you. I'll help you through it all. You can confront the difficulties in life, and I will encourage you and strengthen you and bring you through. And therefore the conclusion is, because there is none like God, there is none like Israel. Happy art thou, O Israel. You're a blessed people. And he's saying, look, remember what I have done for you. Remember the blessings you've received. Remember the promises I'm still giving you. Yes, you'll have trials, but you're a unique, blessed people, because your God is a unique, ever-blessed God. There's none like him, and there's none like them. Friend, would your true blessedness, true happiness, is to be found sharing in those blessings that are spoken of in our text. And surely then, as we look at these blessings, the Lord is saying to you this evening, look, if you want true blessedness, is to be found sharing in these blessings. God's people are a blessed people. Is that not true? Deep down you know that's true. Join with them. Join with them. Make sure God is your God through faith in Jesus Christ. Seek him, and then you will have happiness, now and always. Not necessarily an easy life, but true blessedness, whatever happens. There's three things we might note as to why they were, and why God's people are a happy people. First of all, salvation. There's the first reason why God's Israel are a blessed people. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord. Oh, remember Israel, Moses is saying, what God has done for you. What you need, even what God has done. Friend, this is what you need, and what God alone can do for you. Here's Israel, and they had needed salvation. Remember how they had been slaves in Egypt. There for 400 years. And they'd experienced the tyranny and the oppression of Pharaoh. They were reduced to bondage. Reduced to a situation where they could just be killed. And the slightest whim, if they did not obey the taskmasters, and where the children were being put to death to keep the numbers of the Jews down, because God was blessing them and causing them to grow despite all the efforts of the Egyptians to oppress and tyrannize them. They had known great bondage, but God had brought them out. He had delivered them by the hand of Moses. You remember there were the plagues. And then there was the Passover. And God brought them out by a strong hand. God brought them out. Friends, is that not a picture of the situation man is in by nature? Bondage. You, dear believer, you've seen you're in bondage. Friend, are you aware tonight that you are in bondage? And that you need deliverance. Because that bondage that the Jews were experiencing in Egypt was going to destroy them. And it will destroy you if you go on in sin without Christ. You're in bondage to Satan, the great tyrant, the God of this world who has blinded the hearts of those who do not believe. And you walk according to his ways. Don't you want to fit in with the ways of the world, which are the ways of Satan? You don't want to be different from others. And there's evidence in that sheep-like mentality which infects people that you're enslaved to the ways of Satan. That by nature we are willing grudges. And yes, Satan promises liberty. Did he not do that in the Garden of Eden? Just take that fruit. God's been cruel keeping it from you. Take it. And you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. It will do you good. And the world and sin, Satan promises liberty. This is the way to happiness. Is our nation happier? Having thrown off much of the restraints of biblical religion? People are less happy. People are frightened to go out into the streets. People are certainly not blessed. He promises liberty, and yet he brings death. He promises pleasure. Yes, there are the pleasures of sin. And oh, how people over the last few weeks have an opportunity to have a belly full of the pleasures of this world, whether they're the pleasures of sin or just the pleasures of the good things of this world, but taken to excess. And soon there'll be a hangover, and empty pockets, and people go back to the darkness and the gloominess and the depression, realities of life. Satan promises much that he cannot give. You need deliverance. And that's only to be found in Christ. You're in bondage to sin. It is dominion. It dominates your life. Sin has dominion over you. And you can't break free. Don't you wish? There's some of you tonight, and perhaps you're troubled by your sin, and you wish you could be different. You wish you could be holy. There may be particular sins that are bothering you, that you want to break free from, and you find you cannot break free from them. You're in bondage. And you're certainly in bondage to guilt and to the demands of the law of God. Because God's law says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. You're a debtor, and all your debts are such that you cannot repay them. You cannot make up for the glory of God which you have maligned and trodden underfoot by going your own way. The law of God demands your punishment, and that punishment will surely come. God will pay your wages, and those wages of sin are death. Perhaps tonight some of you are weary because you know you're sinners. You're heavy laden, because despite all your attempts at reformation and attempts to please God, they're not working, and you cannot find peace. You need deliverance. Here is your problem. Now look at Israel. Like you, they were enslaved, and they have discovered deliverance. Happy art thou, O Israel. Why were they a blessed people? They'd experienced deliverance, salvation by the Lord. Think of the Exodus. You're all familiar with the history. How did they do it? How did they break free? It wasn't their work, it was God's work. God alone could do it. And he showed that he was God, the Almighty God, and the gracious God, by coming alongside them, working these miracles with these plagues. and bringing them out, bringing them safely across the Red Sea, destroying Pharaoh in the Red Sea. When they couldn't give relief, when they found no helper from anyone else, God came and they were blessed as saved by the Lord. Friend, that's what you need. That's what God's people have experienced. Why are they a happy people? Because they can look back and say, I have discovered in Christ a Savior, one who gives deliverance from the tyranny of Satan and from the bondage of the dominion of sin and from the bondage to guilt and the demands of the law. I've discovered what God has provided for sinners in Christ. Friend, have you done that? That's what you need to discover. That's what you need to study. There was Christ on the cross. Why was he there? Dying in the womb in the place of his people. Bearing their guilt. Bearing their curse. Why? To deal with the guilt of the sins of his people. That's why he cries out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He bears the penalty that the sinner deserves. Forsaken by God. The wrath of God poured out upon him. Why? To deal with sin. To bear its consequences that all who trust in him might never bear the consequence of their guilt. My debt was discharged in another, even Christ. Dear believer, isn't that why you're happy tonight? Why you can rejoice? You're conscious of your own personal sin, but then you look to Christ and you see the sin bearer and you rejoice in what he has done. I have the forgiveness of sins, peace with God for Jesus' sake. And you see, when God deals with the guilt of sin, he breaks the power of sin. He enables the sinner to trust in him and to overcome sin and to fight against sin. He gives the promised Spirit to help give victory over sin. Satan no longer is Lord and Master. He can write under, above every Christian, under new management, because Jesus Christ is Lord. And that old tyrant has been cast out and he'll never return. Friend, would you know true happiness? Does it not begin with salvation? The blessing above all blessings. The blessing in which all other true blessings come. Will you not flee to Christ? He is the one who said, come unto me, all ye that weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Are you weary with sin? Are you weary with guilt? Are you weary with life? Friend, go to him, and you will find that he is one who receives sinners. Yes, you must go. And he tells you to go. So do not sit still as if you can do nothing. Because you must do something. And he tells you to do something. To come to him. And to rest in him. And to receive a free and a full salvation from him. Friend, go on your emptiness. Go on your weakness. Go on your guiltiness, acknowledging your sin, and hold out that empty hand to receive a forgiveness and a salvation that he offers to all who will come. Come unto me, and I shall give you rest. But you must go. You must go. You must act. You must do something. And if you feel your need, you will go. Well, here's the happy people, saved by the Lord, Who are the happy people tonight? The people who may have nothing of this world's goods, have poor health, everything in life going against them. But they're saved by the Lord. And they'll always have a reason to rejoice in what God has done for them. Make sure you join with them. Then secondly, notice, there's protection. It's not only salvation, but there's protection. God's Israel, they are a blessed people because they're a saved people and they're a protected people. O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency. It might be wondered, how could the Jews be a happy people, having wandered around in the wilderness and then being told, you're about to invade and take over a country, go against those who are fighting people, whereas you are no fighting people? Ah, but they have a refuge. And because they have a refuge, they're a protected people. Had God not been with them in the wilderness? Had they not protected them over the years? Future trials are going to come, friends. Future trials are going to come your way as well. But you see, God is saying, the eternal God is thy refuge. I am the shield of thy help and the sword of thy excellency. I'll help you. I'll protect you. Friend, how are you going to face the problems that are going to come throughout this new year if you're spared to see it through? Life's going to throw up difficulties. There may be great difficulties and great trials. Who knows? The Lord knows. And without Christ, you're on your own. Without Christ, you're to battle through. And it is presumptuous to think, well, God will always be there to help me. If you're not reconciled to him and at peace with him through Jesus Christ, why should God hear your prayers if you reject his offers of mercy and salvation? If you reject his provision for the greatest need you have, that of your eternal soul and its destiny. And if you trample underfoot the love gift of Christ and go on rejecting him, why should he hear your prayers? He may, in his mercy, in his common grace, come and help you. You certainly don't deserve it, and it's presumptuous to presume that he will come and help. Here you are, like all of us. We're all weak, we're all frail. What made Israel happy? They could face the future knowing that God was their refuge. He would be their shield. The eternal God was their refuge. They could say, God is our refuge and our strength and straits of present aid. Therefore, although the world removed, we shall not be afraid. Yes, we're weak. Yes, we're no fighting unit, but we'll go forward looking to God to protect us, and he will give us strength. And you see, there's the Christian. I have no strength. I am weak. I'm no match for Satan. I'm no match for all the temptations that life is going to throw my way. But God will help me. He will be my refuge. He will protect me from trials, or he will protect me in trials. He will keep me. As we said before, the context isn't saying life will be a bed of roses. The wealth and prosperity gospel is not the truth of Scripture. God's people often are tried and troubled and have difficulties and have heartaches. but over a happy people. Because God is ordering everything for my good. Even the bad things will be for my good. The worst things that seem to come my way, that life seems to throw at me. No. God in his providence brings for my good. Doesn't that make a people a happy people, dear believer? You have peace. And you can continue having peace as you trust in the Lord to be your refuge. Friend, are you going on without a refuge? Will you not come to Christ? Don't you see that you cannot go on in your own independence without him? And that when Christ gives salvation, he promises God will be the refuge of his people. We're told that he is the shield of thy help and the sword of thy excellency. So here's Israel. And what they're being told is they're going to have many battles against their enemies, the enemies of God. But yet God will overcome them. They're going to Canaan. They're going to overcome in Canaan. God will protect them. God will fight for them. At Jericho that happened. They didn't have to fight. God fought for them. At Ai, for example, God fought alongside them, with them. They had to do fighting. They promised help. There's times when God would thrust out the enemy from before them, but he would also say, destroy them, you go on. Well, the Christian is happy. Because although he is called to battle on in this world, against the world, the flesh and the devil, against sin and temptation, he's promised protection. He's promised help. He can look to God to overcome sin. He's got a shield and a sword. He's got God as his shield. God as his sword. God as his helper. And he knows that God promises to work in him and through him to strengthen him. He will work in me. He will enable me to endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He'll enable me to overcome sin. So whatever the future holds, I know I'm secure. Because God is my God, my refuge, my strength, my shield, my sword. I have no need to worry. If I know that they in the Lord that firmly trust shall be like Zion Hill, which at no time can be removed, but standeth ever still, he'll keep me. None will perish that trust him. They're a happy people. They're secure. They've been saved. They're going to be kept safe. Perhaps you're here tonight and you know you need Christ. And one reason why you've not yet come to him is this. You're conscious of your weakness. You think, well, others are going to mock me and will try and pull me away. And I'm so weak. I could never keep up a Christian profession. And therefore you're tempted to despair. You just sit there doing nothing rather than coming to Christ because you feel it's too much. I could not be faithful to him. Well, if you hate sin, you will flee to Christ and you'll cling to him, because you know you need deliverance from sin if you have felt yourself a sinner. But surely these words before us give you encouragement that when the devil says, don't go to Christ because you could never keep it up, you can turn around and say, but wait a minute, he promises to be my refuge. He promises to be the shield and the sword of his people. Trust in him and go to Christ. And do not listen to the lies of the evil one. There's a third thing that makes Israel happy. Victory. They're a happy people because a saved people. A happy people because a protected people. A happy people because they're a victorious people. Thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. There's pictures here given to us of victory. Your enemies shall be found liars unto thee. But how often in a battle you find both sides speaking proud, boasting words? We are strong. We are going to overcome you. We are going to defeat you. Well, you see, here's the enemy, and they make boastful claims. And the Canaanites, well, they could make boastful claims that they would prevail and that Israel would be overcome. But God is saying, look, your enemies shall be found liars unto thee. They're going to be exposed as making false claims. Thou shalt tread upon their high places. Well, the high places were important sites. Often they were places of worship. And the picture is of conquest, therefore. Here is Israel, they're going to trample over the high places of the Canaanites. These important sites, perhaps those worship sites, or the reference may be to burial mounds. There they are. They're going to overcome them and they'll bury the dead who they have slaughtered, and they'll trample over the burial mounds of those who they've conquered. Here's God saying, look, I will protect you and will equip you for victory. Israel, you shall know victory. And therefore they were to be a happy people, a victorious people. Well, what does that speak of? We can see how it speaks of Israel's triumph over their enemies. We can see how it speaks of the church's triumph over those who oppose God. In Revelation, amongst other things, we can see there is the reality of the powers of darkness and the forces arranged against Christ and his people and the true church of Christ, and they're battling one with another. Many shall make war with the Lamb, but he shall overcome them all. Friend, if you're a believer, you're on the winning side. Isn't that wonderful? What a reason for joy. The church of God is to do battle against sin and ungodliness and false religion and idolatry and all false philosophies. And at times they may seem to get the better and they grow stronger and stronger. But no, the church of God shall triumph. And you shall triumph in Jesus Christ. There's a reason for joy and gladness. Do not be despondent and feel there is no hope. The church is finished. Christ shall have the victory. Although many make war with the Lamb, he shall overcome them all. For he is King of kings and Lord of lords. And they that are with him are chosen and faithful unto him. Don't we all like to be on the winning side? The children play games. They want to win the games. A board game, a football game, doesn't matter. We all want to be on the winning side. But an awful thing it will be to go on through life and to leave this life and to be on the losing side against Christ. Because one day he will call you to account, and one day he will deal with you for rebelling against him. Oh friend, is it not madness to go on in opposition to Christ? The happy people are the victorious people. God's people that will be victorious. Do not go on rejecting Christ, listening to the lies of Satan. There are victorious people. The devil will tell you many lies as he tempts you to sin. And perhaps he says, do not worry too much about the gospel. There's time enough to think of it. And it's not something to be taken so seriously. Go and enjoy your life. What an awful thing to wake up and to find his lies exposed in a lost eternity. Have the lies of Satan been exposed to you? They will be exposed one day. What thing not to join in with the victory of God's people over the lies of Satan? Do you be overcome by his lies? And how you will hate the fact that you listen to him. And oh, what loneliness and mental and physical agony shall be yours in a lost eternity. Because you refuse to join the victorious people, the people of God. The world's mocking. Oh, how many people mock God's people. Are you influenced by that? Does it keep you from Christ? Their lies are going to be exposed one day. Do not listen to them. God's people are happy people. They know the lies of Satan and the lies of the mockers of this world will be exposed. Christ is their Lord, the God of truth. And he's going to vindicate them one day. But instead of hearing, you're right. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You go on listening to the mocking lies of the world, and it will be a depart from me. I never knew you. Oh, friend, join with this happy people who even now, by faith, are discovering that their enemies are liars to them, and do not listen to them. They have victory over the trials of this world. They're not overcome by them. They're more than conquerors over all things in life. They turn to their good. Are they not the happy people? And when the last enemy, death itself, comes, they're going to have a victory over death. Because they know Christ has won that victory. What a happy people. Happy when their loved ones die in the Lord. They're at home, which is far better than being here now. Happy when they confront the last enemy themselves. Because they know that to be absent from the body is to be home with the Lord, to have more of him, and to be at rest in the Lord. Would you be happy? You must be part of this people who have happiness even in death. There is no happiness in hell. Dear believer, are you not blessed indeed? Can you not say with Moses, happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord? You have no need to fear the future. Your hand is in the Lord's hand. You have a great God. There's none like him. And so there's no one like you. Rejoice in the Lord. Oh, don't you see? Dear friend, Christ is an all-sufficient Saviour. Those who he delivers, he keeps, he blesses. You need that deliverance. The deliverance of the one who is able to keep and bless forever his people. The one who gives victory. Would you be happy today and however long God spares you in this world? And then on throughout all eternity. Seek true happiness in Christ. Because the happy people are the people whose God is the Lord, who have come to Christ. A year has ended. A new year in God's grace has begun. What will make you happy? Well, many things might, but make sure you have the one thing which gives true happiness. And do not presume that you have more than this day. God forbid that it should be said of you, the harvest is past, the summer is ended. We are not saved. Seek him today, at the threshold of a new year. The one day that you are guaranteed now. And then you shall know blessedness, now and forever. For happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Let us pray.